Let's just ask God to bless our time in His Word. Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your presence here this morning. We thank You for, God, just deep soul worship, just to cry out to You, God. We thank You for that. We know that You are a God who is everywhere, but God, there are times that You inhabit the praises You pay. That means You draw near. It is amazing that You are everywhere all the time. And there are those moments of worship that You come close. That's impressive. Father, thank You. God, I ask that every eye in this place will be open to see what we need to see this morning. God, that every ear would be ready to hear, that they'd hear it this morning, they'd get it this morning. Open our eyes and open our ears that we get it. God, give us ears to hear. And God, clear our understanding, our mindset from this whole week, this whole day, the morning, clear it, God, that we just come with a very clear mindset. Ready to understand what You speak to us. Father, I ask that You would open our hearts this morning, God, that our hearts are hungry. We're here because we want to be here. We're here asking You, God, speak to us. God, open our hearts that You might speak to us this morning. That, God, we walk out of this place different. And we walk out of this place changed because we've encountered with You this morning. We've been in Your presence. We understand that Your Word is alive and powerful. One message can change our lives. One verse is that powerful, that effective, that it can change our lives. Father, let it be so this morning. Every one of us walk out of this place and have a Sunday that makes us different. I ask You in Your heart that You would ask God, Father, I'm hungry. Speak to me this morning. Father, I'm all in. God, speak to me what I need to hear today. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been in this series, family, Love, Live, Forgive. That is this series. I don't even know what week this is, three or four, maybe three, I'm not sure. But this is the deal. This is where we're going this morning. We're going to talk about love. Next week, we're going to talk about live. And the week after that, we're going to talk about forgive. We have three, maybe four more weeks in this. And gang, we are hearing report after report after report of homes being different already. It's awesome. It's awesome. This morning we're talking about love. Next week we're talking about live. My dad, I grew up in a home where my dad, you heard it say all the time, are you living or existing? If you're just getting through, you're not getting through right. We have to live in our homes and our families with joy. We should have homes that are full of joy, that are full of peace. We should have homes that don't just exist and get through. We should have homes that are a true living deal, where Christ dwells and reigns within our home, that our homes are alive. That's next week. Then the following week, folks. The following week is the hook to this whole deal. Listen, any relationship you will ever be in, if you can't learn to forgive, you have no relationship. And how much is it that we spend so much time with those who we love at home? And we have to learn to forgive those who are in our own home. We have to learn to forgive husband and wife and children and parents. And walk in a way as God would have us walk, forgive as I have forgiven. And imitate that. And that is in 2 weeks. Please don't miss any of these. These are so, so important, so critical, and life-changing to families and to homes. This morning we're going to be talking about what it is to love. I want you to turn to two places, please. This is the title, Love, the Choice Has Been Made. The choice has been made. Remember that. The choice has been made. Two places, 1 John 4 and 1 Corinthians 13. 1 John 4, 1 Corinthians 13. Put a marker at 1 Corinthians 13. We will be there in just a little bit. But if you would, flip over to 1 John chapter 4. I am a Bible marker. I love to mark my Bible. It is my workbook. It is my note. Man, I dig into this thing. I encourage you. Write in your Bibles, man. Highlight, underline. When God speaks something to you from His Word, man, put it into your heart. And every time, if you are a Bible marker, every time you see the word love that we read, put it down, man. Highlight it. Underline it. I am one who believes in the Crayola Twistables. You hear it all the time. I have used Bible marker after Bible marker. My parents own a bookstore. They owned the Christian bookstore. I could have had the realm of any Bible marker I wanted. They bleed through the pages. They're a mess. I'm telling you, please, the Crayola Twistables, not the erasable ones because they don't work on your onion pages. I'm telling you, the Crayola Twistables are the best, but we're a Bible church, folks. We believe this word, dig. Be hungry for the Word. Study the Word. Dig in the Word. And I'm telling you, the Crayola Twistables, they should pay me. I'm telling you. Because I buy them for people, and we give them out, and they're just the best Bible marker. Deal is this. Every time you see love, the point is this. I want you to highlight it. Come on, I want you to underline it. This is the deal. You can go to Stuff Mart and buy all the packs you want, man. Look at 1 John 4, verse 7 says this. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. First point to this message is this. I want you to see it, because this is true. Who defines love? We're going to talk about love, but we got to figure out who defines love. We got to recognize, well, where did love come from? Who truly gives the definition of love? Folks, if we try to go to Hollywood and find the definition of their love, okay, sleep around, get married, divorce, repeat. Sleep around, get married, divorce, repeat. Go to any magazine rack and you'll see this person slept with that person, this person divorced this person, got remarried to this person, and it is a circus, man. It's crazy. That's Hollywood definition of love. Doesn't work. They haven't figured it out yet. It doesn't work. Okay, what about music? Music has a way of forming culture and forming that we just repeat these songs over and over and over. Right? Now listen, I'm not talking about a love of your dogs or a love of your animals or a love, I love peanut butter or I love, we throw that love word around like crazy, right? And some people love cats. Not sure about that. Some people love country music. I want to give you some titles of country. Look at this, this is great. I want to show you some true, this is legit, look them up. These are real titles to country music on their version, who defines love, on their version of love. Look at the first one. How can I miss you if you won't go away? This is their version of love, right? I am so miserable without you, it's like having you here. Come on! This one's risky, but this, look at this. If I would have shot you when I wanted to, I'd be out by now. I mean, that's like their definition of love, right? Look at this. I liked you better before I knew you so well. I mean, this is like, that's country music for you, folks. The most depressing music on the planet. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, it's nuts. And that's, so who defines love? Is it our culture? Is it the movies? Is it the news? Is it the music? Or do we go to the source of love? Say, God, you've defined love. I want you to see this. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Get that. God is, who defines love? God. Why? Because God is love. Verse 9. By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we may live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That word propitiation, it means that God's wrath has been satisfied. Listen, because of sin, the wrath of God falls on all man. Because he sent Jesus Christ, because he loved you and me, the propitiation, the wrath of God was satisfied by the atonement of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what that means. Reason to celebrate, folks. Powerful. Beloved, if God is so loved, if God so loved us, get this now, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. For if we love one another, God abides in us. And you got to see this, his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Holy Spirit. We have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. That's a demonstrated love, folks. For whoever confessed that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he is love. Verse 16, for we have come to know and have believed. We have come to know, I am convinced. I know, I have a deep understanding, and I believe this. I am convinced of this. Regardless of what anybody will try to tell me, regardless of the ploys of the enemy, regardless of anybody who tries to come in and try to dissuade anything that I have believed according to the Word of God, this is their position. I have come to know, I've got a deep understanding, and I have believed. I am convinced of what? Now look at this, verse 16. That the love which God has for us, God is love. Gang, we have got to be convinced and a deep knowledge that God loves you. And that God is the one who defined love. That God is love. You've got to be convinced of that. Now look at this. This is why. Now look at this. By this, love is perfected with us,
so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because he is so also are we in this world. Verse 18, there is no fear in love,
because perfect love casts out fear. We are told over and over to love one another. We are told over and over that God is the definition of love. I want you to give you, when you see love, anywhere you see love this morning, it is in the Greek, it's agapeo or agape.
This is what that means. Here's the definition. It's an active, giving love. It means it is active. It is pursuing. It is always forward motion. It's not sitting on the couch, man. This is a love that is active, not passive. This is a love that is busy. This is a love that is always giving. This is a love that is always pursuing. Now, this is huge. You got to see this. Unconditional, undeniable, undefeatable love. That's the love we're talking about. And it's amazing to me that we have that love. Right here, we read it in 1 John 4. That love abides in us because we are in God. And when we come to that place of repentance of sin, and we recognize that Jesus is the answer, we understand that I am lost without Christ. I get it. God, I need you. Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, thank you for dying for me. I call on your name for salvation. When we get that as an individual in your heart, the Bible says the Spirit of God comes and indwells in you. And with that, God takes residence within you. Now, if God is love and God reigns in you, there's always love within. Always.
When we understand that we have the ability and the power because God dwells within us, we always, always have the ability to love one another because it's in you, because God reigns in you. That removes the excuse, folks. That removes the excuse. Because when you see that it's an act of your will, and you see that it is a decision, and you see that it is a choice, it is amazing to me how many times you sit down across the board from people and they're going through family problems. Well, I just don't love them anymore. I fell out of love with them. You know what this does? If you're walking in a family unit, husbands and wives, parents and children, brothers and sisters in this love, sons and daughters with parents, this is the family unit we're talking about. This is not just about marriage. This is about brothers and sisters. This is about parents and children, children and parents. When you recognize this agape love that dwells within you, when you understand that God said, love as I have loved you, then you've made a choice to say, I will love you regardless of my emotions and regardless of my feelings. This isn't a fall in and out of. Could you imagine if love, could you imagine if God loved like that? Could you imagine if God would just say, Sean, you know how many times that you've disobeyed me? Son, you know how many times you've walked in rejection of me? Son, you know how many times that I've told you and put things in your heart that you didn't do? Do you know how many times that you've walked in sin? Could you imagine if I had a Godfather who loved me, but there are times that he says, well, because of my feelings for you, or because you did this or you did that, no more love for you. Listen, God so loved the world, and he's never changed his mind, folks. Aren't you pleased that God loved you and it's never changed? Never changed, because he defines love. And it's a love that stands, and it's a love that gives, and it's a love that is a choice, not based on emotion or based on feeling. I cannot tell you what my emotion or my feeling is going to be in a year. I cannot tell you what my wife's emotions or her feelings are going to be in a year. But I can tell you that there'll be love in our relationship because it's a choice. And it's a decision of my will to love her regardless of my feelings and my emotions. Regardless of her feelings or her emotion. Wouldn't it be horrible if we leveled love based on what we feel? But how often does that happen? How often does that happen, folks, that we love based on our feelings and our emotions, which are so up and down? And God said, I have loved you, and I will never change my mind. I want you to see this, because this is John 13. Gives us a very clear picture. Jesus, this is him speaking. Jesus, a new covenant I'm giving to you, that you love one another. How? How is it that we're to love one another, even as I have loved you? Man, I read that, and that's... What? When you come across power-packed verses like this and you are Bible studying and you're digging, you know what the question is? Well, how did you love me? How am I to love
When you're telling me that I'm supposed to love just as you've loved me, love one another even as I, or just as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, that you are my followers, that you are ones who declared that Christ is my King. I am a disciple. I follow him. You know what he's saying? The proof in is that is how you love one another. Isn't it amazing that you can look into these homes that are Christian, believing, God-fearing homes, and people can look at a family union and say, I know that they belong to Christ based on their love for one another within that home. Wouldn't it be horrible if people looked in our homes and say, you have no love for one another. You have no love for one another. And you look at this, and he says, just as I have loved you, that's the standard. Please hear this. He says, that's the standard. Folks, we sit down with people all the time who are so broken because of their past, who have not a clue what love is because of some type of abuse, some type of emotional abuse or sexual abuse. I just got an understanding from a young lady this week. She's a young girl. She's got three kids. First one was at 14 from her father. Oh, what to do with him? How do you tell her about love when she has a parent who has showed her what his version of her disgusting, perverted love is, folks? How do you define that to a girl like that? I say, listen, God is love. He sets the standard, not mankind. He sets a standard, not your parents, not your past, not past boyfriends or not past marriages or not past relationships that were full of abuse. God sets a standard, not man. And when we begin to clear this thing out and we begin to understand and recognize that when we are to love, we're to do it by his standard and not by man's standard. And we recognize that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. This is a giving love that God has for you and I. It's incredible, folks. It's incredible love. And he says, you are to love the way I have loved you. Not based on past, not based on mankind, not based on hurts, not based on broken relationship, but based on I set the standard. That's what God said. Because nothing else will work unless we get that God set the standard for our relationship of what love really is. That's huge. That's huge. And we are to love in our families and our relationships the way God loved. Now, do I tell that girl, oh, you need to trust your dad? Huge difference between love and trust, folks. Please know that. You can love. Be very cautious on ever trusting again. That's huge. We got to understand that. Because people get all weird about love. Well, you know, I just have to go right back and trust them because I love them. Don't you dare. Don't you dare. You can love them for those who've hurt and those who've been so disappointing. But God warns us about getting right back into a trust relationship. Don't be naive. Please, I have to clarify that this morning. Please understand that. Amen. Let's go to point number two, please. I want you to see this, folks. Number one, who defines love? Number two, there's two types of people, givers and takers. When you recognize and you understand love in the family between husband and wife, between brothers and sisters, between parents and children, between children and parents, that's a family unit right there. This is a quote that I read this week, and I love it. Look what it says. Talks about successful families. Successful families focus, now get this, this is a Bible principle. Focus on what they put into the relationship and not what they get from the relationship. Look at that. The focus when you're in marriage or you're in a family unit between brother and sister, between parents and children, between children and parents, that whole family unit, the best families are those who look, how do I increase this relationship? How do I put into this relationship instead of what I get out of this relationship? When we begin to recognize and break down how God has done this, I want you to see this. What did God do to the relationship of man? When you see this quote, when you understand, okay, am I a part of this family? Listen, everybody belongs to somebody here in this. There's no question about that, all right? Now, what are you putting into your relationship? What are you putting into your marriage? Or are you always taking, always getting, always what? I got in this relationship so I can get something from it. Well, you started on shaky ground. Because you go into a relationship based on what you can get from it, and we get that perfect picture from what God has done for you and I. Please hear this. This is great. What did God do for our relationship? Did he take or did he give? Gang, he gave everything. He gave his only begotten son to be crucified, died, spit on, humiliated, crushed. He was perfectly innocent. And Jesus took the hit for you and I. That's what God in Christ put in this relationship for you and I. And what did he get back? He gets rejection. He gets a hypocritical deal. We honor him with our lips, but our hearts are far from him. He gets this disobedience. He gets these people that just reject him and say, there is no God. He gets these people who look at creation and laugh and say, bah, that's not God. This is what God gets in return, folks. What is it that you and I should put into this relationship with God? He deserves to be worshipped. He deserves to be praised. He deserves to be obeyed. He deserves to be loved. Listen, Jesus said, they tried to trick him. So what is the greatest commandment? You know what he said? Love the Lord your God. What does God want most from us, folks? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And this is it. What are we putting in this relationship with God, folks? You and I. What is it? Are we going to God in our test time? You go in your prayer time. You always asking? God, bless me here. God, I need this. God, do this. God, I need this. Please, God, can I have this? God, I need this. God, are you a giver or are you a taker? Or do we get into our time before the Lord and say, God, you are great. I'm saved. I'm safe. Jesus, you died for me. I enter your gates with praise. I belong to you. You are for me. Who can be against me? God, you're all powerful. When you begin to enter in with praise and you begin to enter in with worship and you begin to enter in acknowledging how great God is and giving God what rightfully deserving of him, worship, praise, adoration, exaltation, thanksgiving, loving on God, obeying God, worshiping God. Is that, listen, seriously, what is your relationship like with God? Are you putting into the relationship with your Savior? Or are you taking? What about brothers and sisters? What about husbands and wives? We look at the relationship and what we can put into it. We look at the relationship and what we can get from it. If there's one bowl of cereal left, who gets it? We're the first ones out of bed so we can grab that last bowl of Captain Crunch. Or like, you know what, my brother loves this. I'm going to save it for him. Folks, what takes place in our homes that we recognize that there is to be a love in that family unit that people can look at and say, I know that you are a follower of Jesus based on the love that you have for one another. I want people to see my three kids in a way that they love and care for one another, that they honor one another, and they made a choice to do that, and it doesn't change ever. Listen, I'm teaching Carter how to open the door for his mom. I'm teaching Carter how to open the door for his sister. Teaching Carter how to be a man and how to honor. You know what? If he honors his sister and he honors his mom, you know what he's going to do? He's going to honor his wife. I'm teaching. Listen, you come into my house, toilet seat is down, folks. It's closed. If it's left up, we're doing push-ups, man. That's the way it works. I'm teaching them, listen, Carter, no issues with Carter. My 7-year-old been doing some push-ups. I mean, this is the deal. Ethan is... That thing goes down. We got two ladies in the house, man. Honor your sister and honor your mom. Seat down or we're doing push-ups. That's the deal. I mean, that's why they're so buff. They've been hitting a lot of push-ups with the toilet seat, man. I don't know. But it's real, folks. How can we say that we love God and we have this amazing family? You know, we aren't loving one another and caring for one another in our home where the sister is caring for her brothers and the brothers are taking care of and caring for their sister and protecting and guiding and doing everything necessary for their sister to honor her so she'll know with dad honoring her and with the brothers honoring her that there will be a day that she understands how a man is to react to her and honor her as a woman of God. Powerful, powerful. It starts in the home and us honoring, loving, caring for, putting into the relationship of my daughter, putting into the relationship of brothers and sisters, caring for one another, honoring one another, valuing one another, givers or takers, folks. And you look at God's relationship, and you look at a love that God says it is a giving love, for God so loved the world that he gave. It's not a taking deal. We got to understand that. Point number three, we got to roll. Turn to 1 Corinthians 13, please. When you understand how real love is, faith, hope, and love, the greatest of these is love, it's kind of a big deal. God so loved the world he gave, it's kind of a big deal. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Kind of the absolute pattern of successful marriage. Huge, huge. And then we look at this. We hear this verse, these verses often. Hear them in marriages. It's a great wedding deal, right? It's a great wedding verse. It's not meant just for husband and wife. 1 Corinthians 13 doesn't talk about husbands and wives. It talks about people, relationships. You can use it in marriage. That's today's point. You can use it in brothers and sisters. You can use it parents honoring their kids, kids honoring honoring their parents. You can use it in such a way. I want you to see this. Break this thing down. Point number three is this, love is. If you want to know the definition of love, this is one of the clearest pictures of love in Scripture, because it says love is patient. Love is kind. God is the one who defined love, folks. God is the one who gave us the clear definition of what love is. Love is patient. You know what patient means? Long-suffering. You know what patient means? Long temperament. Aren't you glad as a believer that God is patient with you? That God is long-suffering when we blow it? God is long-suffering when we are self-centered? God is long-suffering when we are disobedient? That God is patient. Why? Because God is love. Look about this for you and I in our marriage, in our relationship, in our families, in our homes. That we are to be long temperament, and we are to be long-suffering, and we are to be patient. The Bible says to be kind. Love is kind. You see it all through Scripture. My kids know Proverbs 3. Let kindness and truth never leave you. This is how God views kindness. Let kindness and truth never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Tie them on the tablets of your heart. In doing so, you will find favor and a good report with God and man. How? Through kindness and truth. You'll have a good reputation with God, and you'll have favor from God. And guess what? Guess who else? Man. I tell my kids, listen, this is the deal. When you're before adults, you will be kind. And you will walk in truth. And in doing so, you'll have a good reputation in the school. You'll have a good reputation at work. You'll have a good reputation in getting a job. That they'll look at you and the report that will come when they begin to interview other people about you for a job. You know what? They always seem to tell the truth. And they're really, really kind. Who wouldn't want that in their workplace? Training up our kids to walk in kindness. Listen, what is it? Ephesians 4:32. Very clear. When our whole world switches from darkness to light, huge part of this is being kind and tenderhearted and doing just as Christ done, forgiving just as Jesus has forgiven you. And a huge part of that is being kind. When you talk about marriage, husband and wife, 1 Peter 3, 7 and 8, it talks about being kind-hearted, brotherly kindness in marriage relationship between husband and wife. It's a huge deal. Why? Because what is love? It's kindness, folks. There's three things that I've really studied and brought out in this. You know what it is? This is what I really learned this week. And what real kindness is. Number one, it's being gracious. Number two, it's being generous. Number three, it's being genuine. I think one of the most disgusting things is people who act like they're kind to you so that they can get something from you. They really don't care about you. The only reason they're being kind, which they consider to be kind, is because they want something from you. And we look at a Bible kind of, it is gracious, it is generous, and it is genuine. Why? Because God is love. So I look at the picture of God when I'm studying and say, God, you are gracious, for by grace you've been saved. God, you are generous, you gave your son, you bless us. And God, you are genuine. You are the real deal, and you are pure. And there's nothing hypocritical in you. Folks, you want to walk in your home, husband and wife. You want to walk in your home, brother and sister. You want to walk in your home, parents and children, children and parents. Then kindness is love. Look at this, real quick. Is not jealous, does not brag, is not arrogant, is not act unbecomingly, that's rude, does not seek its own, it's not selfish. Again, it's what we can put into the relationship, not what we can get out of the relationship. It is not provoked, it's not easily angered, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but it rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. God so loved the world, and he's never changed his mind. Cannot fail. Gang, this is what God's word says. Cannot fail. When we begin to follow the word of God and what love is in our homes, what love is in our families, cannot fail. Why? Because God reigns and dwells and abides within. And with that, there is love within. And that love, when followed by this pattern, cannot fail. Gang, this is the deal. Some of the huge kickers in this. There's so much in this. We've got time to really one. Does not suffer wrong. Look at this. Or your version may say, keeps no record of wrong. That's bookkeeping. That's bookkeeping. Isn't it awful when you're in a marriage relationship or you're in a relationship with sons and daughters? Or you're in a relationship with even children and parents at an older age. Or you're in a relationship between brother and sister. Remember what you did last week? Remember what you did last year? Remember 5 years ago you dunked my head in the toilet? I've never forgotten that. Don't do that. What does love do? Does not take into an account, that's bookkeeping, a wrong that has been suffered. It keeps no record of wrong. Again, who's our pattern? God says, I have forgiven you and your sin has been removed as far as the east is from the west. I have forgiven you and your sin has been buried in the deepest part of the sea. I have forgiven you. I love this picture. I have forgiven you. In Isaiah, I have forgiven you and I put my sin behind you. We are walking arm in arm and that sin is past. And you know what that is to our back? We are not to turn around and revisit it. That's God's stance on not keeping a record of wrong. Isn't that awesome that when we go to God and ask for forgiveness, that it is clean? When we ask God for forgiveness, it is forgiven. When we ask God, forgive us, our sins have been buried in the deepest part of the sea. That's amazing, incredible love based on this right here, based on how we are to love one another, that we are not to keep a record of wrong, folks. Huge. Huge. Brennan, you come up, man. Folks, when we understand this and we get the points to this in your home, could you imagine what your home will be like when you apply this, when you put it in? I'm going to love you based on a decision and my will to love you regardless of emotion and feeling. In other words, in 10 years from now, I know that I will love you because I'm making a decision. I will always love you. Well, how can you say that? Because I'm following a pattern of my Savior who always loved me. Could you imagine in rearranging things in your heart and your mindset to say, I now live to what I can put into this relationship and not what I take from it. Can you imagine brothers and sisters living by that? And then you go into this right here and you say, this is what love is. And this will be our home. We will be patient and we will walk in kindness. And look, we're not going to hold the records of wrong in this home. We're not going to hold records of wrong in this home. Let's just bow our heads, please. You could grab the hand of your husband or your wife, your whole family. Folks, this is the deal. When you understand this morning, you're going to make a decision based on a God agape love. Regardless of emotion, regardless of circumstance, regardless of situation, regardless of season of life, regardless of my feelings, I will love you. In the worst of times, when finances are gone, jobs are gone, homes are gone, I will love you. When things are great, things are up, we're on top of the mountain, I will love you. When you go through hurt and pain, I will love you. When things go right, I will love you. When we struggle, you can rest assured and be secure that I will love you. Because my love for you is based on none of that. But my love for you is based on my will and my choice to always pursue you and always give to our relationship, no matter what. Folks, I'm asking you to make a decision this morning as a family unit. Say, no matter what, I will love you
and I will never change my mind. No matter what, I will love you. And I will never change my mind. Please sit on that for a minute. There may be someone who said, that is so hard. You have no idea what we've been through. How can you speak to me? You don't know my circumstances. I don't. But I know who defined love. And it's not your circumstances. I know who defined love. And it's not your friends telling you what to do. I know who defined love, and it's God who loved you. Has never changed his mind. And he tells us to do the same. And it's our goal to see what we can put into this relationship from here forward. Make that decision this morning. I will love you. And I will never change my mind. Come on, folks, let's stand and worship.